my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I'm going to find out what my Bible says. It will lift me up out of darkness and into light, sickness into health, poverty into wealth, defeat into victory. I will never be the same. The word of God. Come on, without limit. The word of God will be sown in my heart, and my heart is good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. Get two people a high five right before you're seated. Tell them, yes, I can, right before you're seated. You have your Bibles. Go to Jeremiah 17 and Genesis 26. Two openings, Jeremiah 17 and Genesis 26. Again, I want you to listen attentively. I got 49 minutes. I may give you some change on that. But I want you to really listen attentively. This is going to be a miniskirt message, you know, short enough to be interesting, long enough to cover the subject, okay? But so listen up. Jeremiah 17 and Genesis 26, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another privilege and opportunity to gather around your word. We thank it's your word that gives us life. It gives us victory in every area of our lives. So once again, we do look reverently to your word to behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I'm asking on today to anoint every ear to hear and every heart to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Two verses in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed, that means empowered to prosper, is the man. Tell somebody, he's talking about somebody on our road, somebody on the road. Blessed is the man who trusts in who? In the Lord. To trust in the Lord is to trust in his word. And whose hope is in the Lord. Look at verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But, tell somebody that's a big but. I know a big but when I see one. He said, but his leaf will be green. Watch this. And will not be anxious in the year. If you're taking notes, put 2022. In the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The NIV says this, verse 8, its leaves are always green, no matter what's going on. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. What? As Christians, our true testimony is not that we don't go through anything. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. When you go through some mess in your life, you ain't got to do nothing wrong. Listen, the fact that you're righteous and you're a Christian, you are in the crosshairs of the devil. You've been targeted by the enemy. The devil don't like you or your family or your children. He comes out of, but the devil is defeated. God is exalted and Jesus is Lord. But you will be, listen, he will attack you, will come after you. Watch this, the Bible says, but we will still bear fruit. Our true testimony to the world as Christians is our ability to be joyful and productive in times of adversity. Now, many Christians have been, they've been hoodwinked, they've been had, they've been bamboozled. They think that now that I'm born again and, man, I go to a good church like this and, man, I'm never going to have any problems and no challenges. And, you know, but the truth of the matter is, we're not in heaven yet. No, we're not in heaven yet. In fact, we are on enemy hell territory. This is not a playground. I'm talking about Christianity. This is a battleground. This ain't no cruise ship. This is a battleship. When you got saved, you enlisted into an army. It's God's army. And we got to simply learn how to fight. You'll never outgrow spiritual warfare, so you got to learn how to fight. Thank God for a good pastor and a first lady that will teach you how to deal with your evil day and learn how to fight, that when trouble come in the front door, you don't run out the back. You ain't no spiritual sissy. You ain't no wimp. You a warrior. You are not a victim. You're not a victim. You got the victory. And it's just a matter of time. Okay, I feel my help coming. Look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Genesis what? 26. So I want to speak very briefly from the subject, prospering in bad times. Prospering in what? In bad times. Now, listen to me carefully. This may be what I call a medicine chest message. You know, when you, most of us got certain medicines in our medicine chest or, you know, in our bathroom or whatever, you know, get some Alka-Seltzer, some Pepto-Bismol, you know, some stuff, you know, that'll help you. You don't need it right now. But just in case one night you come in and your stomach bubbling, it's there if you need it. You may not have everything going good right now, but I'm telling you, I want to show you how to prosper in bad times. Genesis 26 is our example. Genesis what?
26.
26. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13 that you may be with, you may be stand in the evil day, even when things ain't going quite right. The Bible says in Genesis 26, and verse number 1. There was a what in the land?
Famine.
Hey, wait a minute. There was a what in the land?
Famine.
There was a famine in the land. We're talking about recession. We're talking about pandemic. We're talking about shortages. We're talking about poor economic times. Now, I'm not going with the prognosticators of this world, but what they are saying for the world, that those that don't know what we know, they're saying is worse, and it could get worse before it ever get better. And they always talk, it's always a cycle, always something. There was a famine in the land, the Bible says, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and who? That's our subject. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Don't go to the world. When you're encountering an economic problem or challenge, don't go into Egypt. He didn't go down to Egypt. Egypt represents the world system. Now, when we think about it, in the natural, in the world system, people have to turn to payday loan companies and finance companies that charge high interest rates. They have to turn to pawn shops, bankruptcy, second mortgages, equity loans. And some are interest-only payments for the first 5, sometimes 10 years. In the world system, they turned to debt consolidation. In fact, there was a sign seen on a loan company that said, come get a loan and pay off all your bills. Now, if you think about that, that don't make no sense. Come get a loan and pay off all your bills. I just made a bill. I got a loan. Okay, anyway. But what I want you to notice, it's a famine going on. It's bad times going on. It's hard right now financially in the land. But look what this man did. This man did something uncommon. It don't make sense in the natural. Here he is in a famine land. God told him, don't go down to Egypt. Do it my way. And verse 12, let's read it out loud together. I'm reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It's on the screen. Verse 12 out loud. 1, 2, 3, read. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me this man, Isaac, it's a famine going on, poor economic conditions going on, and the Bible said he planted crops in a famine land. He sowed in a famine land. What? He evidently, he knows something. This man, Isaac, sowed in that land and reaped in the same year. I'm finna go over here. Before this year is out, before 2022, you gonna reap like you've never reaped before. And the Bible says the Lord blessed him in a famine. The Lord blessed him. Now here's the first statement. Write this down if you're taking notes. God's blessings are not altered by poor economic conditions in the earth. It does not matter. God's blessings are not altered. Heaven's business is booming. God, we're talking about golden streets and gates of pearl. God ain't hocking no chariots. He ain't selling off no streets. God's blessings are not altered by poor economic conditions in the earth. You gotta know, no matter what goes on or who's in office or this is going on in our city, in our state, in our nation, God's blessings are not affected by poor economic conditions in the earth. Now you gotta know that. The book says in verse 12, and Isaac sowed in that land, that famine land. He reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 11, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very what? The Message Bible says the man got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. Verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines, what?
Envied
him. Now, let me, warning, this, okay, you gotta, everybody ain't gonna like you now. The Bible is very clear in Mark chapter 10 that God's way or God's prosperity comes with persecution. Amen. Yeah, everybody's not going to be excited. Prospering in bad times will cause some people. You got to get ready for it. You got to toughen up. You have to have what I call emotional independence. Everybody ain't going to, when they walk in your new house, they might lose their smile. They ain't necessarily happy for you. No, they no. I'm talking about some people that you would expect to be in your corner. I'm telling you right now, it's one thing to believe for it, but when it shows up, and if you just need acceptance from everybody, you ain't ready for this kind of prosperity that God want to put on you. But tell somebody, I can handle it. When they saw, when the Philistines, those with no covenant, saw this man of God prospering in bad times, they took notice. Here's the next statement. Prospering in bad times, here it is a vital part of the believer's testimony to the world. It's a vital part of the believer's testimony to the world. Listen to me. You're one of God's trophies. God has a supernatural plan for your life. There's something great he wants to do. He's getting ready to show up and show out. And everybody, folk you went to school with, some of your family members, people, you go down to that church and you doing this, and now you saved now. And you can understand, don't get mad at them, because listen, when you got saved, the devil cried. The devil cried because he lost a good one, you know what I mean? There's some folk right now don't believe you saved. They still got problems. No, not him. No, not her. Anybody but her. So what God's getting ready to do, he gonna shake it up. He gonna get their attention. He gonna prove to them that his hand is on your life. And they gonna be thirsty for what you got. Bible says he started prospering and the Philistines got jealous. The Philistines began to envy him. Amen. But he didn't stop prospering. He went on. Now, go to Psalm 103 quickly. Psalm 103. Come on, take your time and hurry up. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 19. Psalm 103 verse what?
19.
Verse 19. How did Isaac prosper? See, before they gave me my Rolls Royce, the church gave it to me. They gave me a brand new Rolls Royce. I didn't pay anything for it. They gave it to me. And before I was living in my big house and all this kind of stuff, I used to ride in other guys' Rolls Royces. And I didn't get intimidated. I got inspired. Because I wasn't no hater. And I didn't want nothing from them, but I did want to know one thing. How did you do it? That's all I need. You ain't got to give me, but can you tell me Because I know God is no respecter of persons. I know God has no favorites. I know I'm from the hood. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. But God will bless me too if I do the same. And so what I discovered, watch this, is that not only God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles. So I want to know, how did Isaac do it? Isaac used the laws of the kingdom of God to prosper in bad times. Look at Psalm 103, verse 19. There it is. And by the way, if you're saved, you are a kingdom citizen. Yes. Psalm 103, 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. All inflation, all shortages, all famines. The principles of the kingdom of God supersedes, overrides all human laws, all human limitations, all obstacles, all weaknesses and deficiencies. God prospers his people." Listen at this. "God prospers his people in bad times through his laws of the kingdom of God." And if you would dare embrace the laws of the kingdom. Now, there are those, I don't care how much you teach them how to prosper. Yeah, they're going to refuse to tithe. They're going to refuse to give. They just ain't going to do it. Hey, I ain't mad at nobody. But watch this. But then there are those that say, "You know what? I'm hungry for more of God." I teach my kids three keys to success is to stay humble, holy, and hungry for God. I don't just want to make it in. I didn't just get saved just to make it in. If something's on the menu, you know, when I go to new places, my wife would go to a new restaurant, I just sample pretty much everything. Bring me a little bit. I don't know what's good and what's bad. If God puts something on the table and it's on the menu, I want some of it. If healing is on the menu, if joy and peace, and come on now, if it's in the book, and if he didn't want me to have it, he shouldn't have put it in there, because I'm going for it. So God prospered him through the laws of the kingdom of God. God meets our need through seed. The Bible said Isaac sowed when in need, sow a seed. Never believe God for money without involving money, because everything reproduces after its kind. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 21. If you want corn, you got to sow corn seed. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." I tell people, I'm not just a giver. I'm a big giver. And not only that, but I am a giver, and I'm not a gaver. Some people are gavers. They're not givers. Tell your neighbor, say, "Thank God I ain't talking about nobody on my row." Because, see, the truth is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is cheap. Amen. So let me help you out. There are four truths every believer needs to know about giving. I'm talking about God's way. I'm talking about how Isaac sold in a famine land. He sold. He gave. When it didn't make sense in the natural, because the truth is, God's way does not make common sense. Don't make no sense. I'm already in need. I'm already behind. And you talking about give? I remember when I started tithing in 1980, I was broke. And then I saw it, so I started tithing. I said, "God, you know, this don't..." But I did it. It's like, "God, what are you doing? You're creating another bill for me. I mean, I'm already behind." But boy, not overnight, but I'm telling you, God's way works. Four truths about giving. Number one, giving is God's solution to financial famine. That's it. You can cry, you can complain, you can blame, you can make excuses, and that's what some people do. They just blame folk, they make excuses. Blame and excuses don't change nothing. Giving is God's solution to financial famine. God, listen, I found this out. I had to learn it. God is not need-minded. Just because you got a need, it may get his attention, but he ain't gonna move. Yeah, God is not need-minded. If God was need-minded, there wouldn't be no need, because he's a loving God. But giving is God's solution to financial famine. If you don't get a harvest only follows seed time. It's seed and then time and then harvest. You, in order to sow, you got the seed in the bag that's in the barn will never produce a harvest. You got to get it out the barn, out the bag, and you got to sow it. I don't care how long you've been saved. If you go to a fireplace and say to the fireplace, give me some fire and then I'll give you some wood, you're going to be one. You ain't going to see it. You just ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Number two, the second truth about giving that I've learned is that giving causes receiving. Giving causes receiving. The head of the church, see, the giving can't be a game because Jesus, the head of the church, my Lord and my Savior, the one who I love, listen, Jesus said, look at somebody say, we can believe Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, the opposite is also true, the flip-flop method of reading the Bible. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, the opposite is true. If I don't give, then it don't be given unto me. So if you a penny-pinching tightwad, if you so tight you squeak when you walk, then they know. Oh, man, nobody never gives me nothing. Shh, you telling on yourself. Because giving causes receiving. And I decree today there's going to be an anointing of acceleration. Your harvest will manifest quickly in the next few days. Listen to me. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Let's go there. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Because so, really, in the mind of God, it's giving and receiving, all right? No. And most of us, we ain't got no problem with receiving. But in order to receive, you got to give. Proverbs 11, 24. There is one who scatters or releases, yet increases more. Stop right there. That don't make no sense. In the natural, that don't make sense. Well, I mean, come on now. If I got a need, listen, give me something. But God says, no, that's not how my kingdom works. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, but he who waters, first lady quoted, will also be watered himself. So now watch this. The Bible says the person who scatters will increase. That's what the book says. Tell somebody that's the Bible. That's the Bible. Now I can't, now, and I love it because he didn't put no stipulations on that. Normally, a surgeon makes more than a school teacher, normally. But God didn't say nothing about your profession. There is one who scatters yet increases more. How many brothers in here that got some children? You got some children other than me. All right, put your hand up. Now, I don't understand. We should never have no problem with sowing and giving because we like to give. Giving is an exciting thing. Now, I'm going to break it down a little bit, but okay, praise the Lord. So when you sowed your seed, it wasn't like it was a bad thing. Okay, that's enough. Y'all, okay, that's your, okay. Number three, the third truth about giving is that giving is proof that you trust God. Hey, don't tell me you trust God. Here you are. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, that it's about trust. It's about where you put your trust. God is concerned about four things. He's concerned about your motive. He's concerned about your priorities. He demands to be first. He's concerned about your motives, why you want what you want. He's concerned about your attitude. He said, if you be willing and obedient. And then he's concerned about where you put your trust. God says, the Bible, 1 Timothy 6:17 says it too, giving is proof that you trust God. If you can't trust God with your money, you don't trust God. Amen. Because the same Bible that talks about heaven, receiving Jesus, going to heaven, the same Bible talks about giving and receiving. And then finally, and I'm closing with this one, listen to this. Giving should always be done in good ground. Should always be done what? Go to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter number 6. Now, this is what I call my special sauce. This is, I don't share this everywhere because everybody can't handle it. But But this is the root to the fruit. Right? My special sauce. This is how I got where I, and giving should be done in good ground. Now, here's St. John chapter 6 is where we're going. And I want you to write this statement down. Never forget this. Your seed plus the anointing equals more than enough. Yeah. What do I do, Dr. Grant, when I don't have enough? What do I do when I got more month than money? What do I do when I'm working every day and barely making it? What do I do? How do I shake this up? I'm telling you, your seed plus the anointing equals more than enough. St. John chapter number 6. St. John chapter number 6. Now the Bible tells us in Isaiah 10:27 that the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And when I found this out, now again, I had people criticize me for doing what I'm about to teach you. But I got the faith fruit to prove it, that it'll work if you work it. There is no better ground. Listen to me. It's good ground, ministries and all, but there is no better ground than your man and woman of God. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible says in St. John chapter 6 that they were dealing with not enough. They just didn't have enough. And whenever you're dealing with insufficiency, you just don't have enough. Okay, St. John 6:3, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. Would you circle highlight in verse 7 the words not sufficient? So they're dealing with insufficiency. They're dealing with not enough for them, that every one of them may have a little. They got a little on their mind. We ain't got enough. Okay, look at verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad, a little boy between age 5 and 9, here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. We're talking about a 2-piece fish dinner. This is a little boy. Now, when it says barley loaves, don't think big old loaves of bread. We're talking about crackers. That's what the Greek says, crackers. And when it talks about fish, he's talking about like sardines. So he got 5 crackers and 2 sardines. One of the greatest miracles in all the Bible. He says, watch this. He says, "But what are they among so many?" Ever look at your bills and then look at what you get? Oh, what are they among so many? Verse 10, then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down, get organized." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now look at verse 11. And Jesus what? Boy, y'all a good class. And Jesus what? Took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish. Watch this, as much as they wanted. Circle that, as much as they wanted. He gave them as much as they wanted because he's generous. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples. Now he took their not enough. Watch this. And the Bible says, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, verse 13, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over, circle left over, by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did or miracle Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Now notice what they did. The loaves represent not enough. Say that with me. Say the loaves represent not enough. Now what they did with their not enough is what we got to do. Anytime you're facing a financial shortage, famine, lack, anything of that nature, flip back to Matthew 14. It's the same story. A few words are different. Flip back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter what? 14. Matthew chapter 14, and look at verse 17. Matthew chapter 14. Listen, we cannot let the world intimidate us from operating God's plan. Amen. And I want to speak to everyone, every saint in here who's incurred some injustices and been mistreated, been ostracized, maybe you lost your job, you lost a best friend or house or car, and it looks like the devil's got the upper hand on you. Let me tell you something, it ain't over yet. Because there is an anointing on your man of God that's available to you that the devil don't want you to know about. Matthew chapter 14. That's why you gotta guard your heart. You don't ever let yourself get offended at your man or woman of God. I'm gonna show it to you. Look at this. Matthew chapter what?
14.
And verse what?
17.
And verse 17. Now it's the same story because they're telling the same, but they use a few different words here. And I'm in chapter 14, verse 17. Here it is. Let me get there. 14, 17. And they said to him, We have only what? Five loaves and two fish. And he said, this is what Jesus said, bring them here to me. Hey, bring me your not enough. I know it's some struggle. I know you're having a challenge, but bring it to me. Okay, now watch this. Verse 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves, or the not enough, and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he what it? Oh, he blessed it. He blessed it. He anointed it and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. So they're not enough went to more than enough when it got in the hands of Jesus. How do you turn not enough into more than enough? Listen, you take your not enough and you put it into the anointed hands of your pastor and your man of God, and you let him bless it. Jesus is not physically here on the earth. Listen at me. I've done this time and time again. We had a challenge several years ago. Oh, my goodness. Our country bailed out the banks. You remember this thing, too big to fail? When President Obama came in, they said this thing was going down fast. So they bailed them out, and then the banks came out, and they, for whatever reason, they gave themselves raises and bonuses, and they decided, we really don't want to do business with churches. My grandmother and granddaddy told me, and I thought they were right, they said, if you pay them full, they won't bother you. If you pay them every month on time, they ain't gonna bother you. I thought that was true. However, there's a fine print in the contract that said every 5 years they have to renew this thing. And if they don't want, normally they do, but for whatever reason, they said no. So we had to file bankruptcy to prevent them from taking our stuff. Okay? But the thing about going through bankruptcy is now you ain't in control. They in control. They stripped me of my salary for 2.5 years. Now get this now. Think about somebody take your salary. You ain't making no money for 2.5 years. Thank God I did have some savings that I could dip into, and I had to just flat out believe God. Okay? At the same time, I had to have emergency back surgery. And then on top of that, I'm going through a divorce situation. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a crazy situation in my life. I felt like Job. I felt like I was just, my God. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Anybody ever been? It looked like if it ain't, you get out of that and you run into this. And I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to come out on the other side of this with a testimony. Amen. Fast forward. Our ministry, we own three church buildings in two cities. We have one debt that we're paying off now, Hopefully we'll have it this year on the current building that we're in. But our ministry did, during a pandemic situation, better financially than it ever done before. Not only did finances in the ministry go up, I mean, no stress, no strain, no struggle, nothing. But in my own personal life, God supernaturally moved. I ministered not long ago. I ministered about 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so, and they just gave. I didn't ask. They gave me $30,000. That was a pretty good day. What? Don't hate. All right. Listen to me. I gave my way out. When I'm standing up here telling you that what I'm talking about works, I'm not talking about, listen, I'm not talking about something I overheard somebody. I ain't new to this. I'm true to this. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know everything, but I know this. I know this. God, watch this. See, because I tell people, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Go to Mark chapter 6, and you ain't got to turn no more. I got 14 minutes. I only need about 5 of them. All right, Mark chapter what?
Six.
Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter what?
Six.
Can't nobody stop you, saints, is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care who walked away from you. I don't care who left. I don't care who should have been there. I don't care what's happening in your life. It ain't over. Right now, there is an anointing available for you. And while people talking about you, God will be blessing your life. You are unstoppable. You are uncursable. You cannot be defeated. And you will not quit. Glory to God. Look at Mark chapter 6, and you ain't got to turn no more. Mark chapter 6. I'm telling you, my excited is excited. My turned on is turned on, because somebody, if at least one of y'all, I know somebody in here today been looking for this answer. Dr. Grant, ooh, I'm telling you, I'm experiencing some challenges right now. How in the world and I'm going to come out? Because the devil told me, I got you now. Oh, you've been preaching this word of faith. I got you now. I said, devil, you's a lie. Amen. I kept giving. I kept sowing. I kept doing it. Watch this. And I prospered even in bad times. Mark chapter number 6. One thing I don't want you ever to do in this church is it's called the sin of familiarity, where you get so familiar. In other words, you get used to your pastor. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That pastor. Pastor's a nice man, but you know, get used to your past. Don't ever. You got to guard your heart, because that ain't just a man. That's my man of God. Yeah, yeah. The words of life is coming through him and her. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 6, Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth. Many of you know the story. Verse 1, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? They acknowledged. They had to acknowledge. Everywhere he going, signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. Watch this. Everywhere he goes, look at verse number 3. Is this not, now they're getting familiar. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? I went to school with him. His daddy put a roof on our house. You know, we're a carpenter. What that got to do with it? Watch this. Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. They got offended. If you divide that word offended up, it's off-ended. They got off. And the Bible says, verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Circle that word honor. Because there's a virus of dishonor in the land. Yeah. Whether you're president, a parent, or a pastor, you got to guard your heart. I went to Tanzania, Africa. I've been to South Africa several times. Went to Tanzania for the first time. miracle signs and wonders popped off. I was like, whoa, what is this? I went back to my hotel room. I said, God, what is this? And he said, I want you to notice how they honor the problem in America. Let me tell you something, saints. And until we correct it, we ain't going to see no revival, not no move like we think we need. We got to bring honor back. Amen. Yeah. Wives got to honor their husbands. Husbands got to honor their wives. Children got to honor their mom and daddy. Come on. Life, it'll be well with them, not hell with them. That's Ephesians 6. And members got to honor their pastor. The Bible said, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. And look at verse 5. Now he could. Didn't say he wouldn't, it said he couldn't. Didn't say he wouldn't, it said he couldn't, verse 5. Do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages and in the circuit teaching, because the cure for unbelief is teaching. Now watch this. Jesus said they didn't honor him. And the dishonor restricted the power of God, watch this, in Nazareth. Everywhere else, the power of God was flowing. Everywhere else, God was moving. Jot it down, St. John chapter 13, verse 20. St. John 13, 20. They may put it on the screen. St. John 13, 20. Jesus said, if you honor the one Jesus sent, you honor Jesus. And I'm telling you, he said, look, he says, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So the Bible teaches, listen, I believe an ignored instruction is the highest level of dishonor. Don't you get too familiar with your pastor. Because something supernatural happens when we honor. Oh, saints, if I plead with you today, make sure if nobody, you honor your man and woman of God. And watch God bless your life. My children are saved, blessed, healthy. Listen to me. Honor is a powerful. God says, if you honor the one I sent, and the one I sent ain't perfect, because there ain't no perfect churches, because there ain't no perfect people. And if you find a perfect church, please don't join it, because you'll mess it up, because you ain't perfect. Please. But there's an anointing on this man of God. And I'm telling you, all across the country, because you may not know it, that anointing is increasing. I'm telling y'all what this man came to my church. Flowing in the gift of power of God strong, he left a residue of the anointing of God. Offerings increased. People's lives were impacted. I'm like, whoa! Tell he's been with Jesus. He's bold too. Amen. Because he believes what he believes. Amen. And oh my God, when I heard a birthday celebration, just jot it down. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, money and honor go together. Proverbs 3:9 says, you honor with your substance. Ain't no such thing. There is no such thing in the Bible as honoring somebody and don't give them no money. It's just not biblical. I ain't got time to teach on it. It just ain't biblical. Why don't we quit playing with the thing? Yes, sir. Amen. I trained my children. I trained my congregation. You don't give me no card with no money in it. I like the words on the card, but when I open the card up, I'm looking for the honor. Where the honor at? Money and honor go together like wet go with the water. You can't have one without the other. Well, I don't know why we play games. Listen. Tell somebody it'll work if you work it. Saints, that's my special sauce. I'm telling you what I know. It'll work if you work it. I said it'll work if you work it. I can't be my best self by myself. Your pastor is a living example of what God can do through a man who is yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. He pray and he is bold enough to obey. baby. What's happening in New Bern is not normal. Say this with me and I'm closing. Say, I do not live
a normal life.
I live a supernatural life, built on God's word and empowered by God's spirit. Say this with me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.